What's going on, everybody? This is Aaron Edward Atwell. Here with my co-host, Chaz Reed. What's happening, man?
What it do? What it do?
It do not a lot. I'm just hanging out, man. Having a good day.
That's what I like to hear, man. You know, I was in the store getting me a sausage dog this morning.
Sausage dog? You went to a gas station?
Yeah.
Yep. I've been there.
It's actually a country sausage link. I just tell them put it in a hot dog bun. I just call it a sausage dog. But she was like, "How you doing?" I was like, "I'm all right." I was like, "You know what? No, I changed that. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We got to stop saying we're doing all right." I heard Steve Harvey say, "When you wake up in the morning, you got to stop saying you're doing all right, because the goal is to live another day." And, you know, for you to just wake up and be like, "I'm all right," you ain't thankful enough. You ain't grateful enough. So I'm doing good.
Well, look, if Steve Harvey said it, I trust it.
I trust it. I trust the stash, man.
I do too. I love some Steve Harvey. Yeah, man. I'm doing good over here. Had a birthday this week. Getting old. My wheelchair and my walker will be here soon.
Nice.
You know? Still staying mobile, trying to stay mobile.
What's that clicking? Fluffy?
I don't know. No. I don't know what it is. I'm looking over here trying to figure out. It might be the cat in here again. Messing around with something.
Tripping. I thought it was Fluffy's tail wagging or something.
Ah. No, he ain't in here right now. All right, man. Let's go ahead. Let's get started. You want to?
Let's get it started in here.
All right. Today, we're going to talk about creative shooting. We're a couple of people that have shot. We've shot a lot of weddings, both together and separate. And we've seen a lot of wedding films, both together and separate. But I felt like a lot of people get stuck shooting. And we just talked about this a second ago, but I feel like, you know, they've got their monopod or their gimbal or whatever they're using, or maybe just handheld. And they get stuck just walking into a situation, pressing record, and that's what they've captured. And I see it a lot sometimes, too, when people ask me to review a film. They're like, "Hey, can you tell me what you think of this?" or whatever. And I see it a lot in there. I feel like, why'd you get this shot? Why'd you even press record? Like, if this was what you were seeing on your screen or your EVF, why'd you even push the button? I don't say it like that, but that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
So I think it's important as wedding videographers, if you want to stand out, especially, it seems like for a lot of people, bookings are kind of slow. You know, that whole slinky effect. We had COVID, you know, made everything slow. And then after COVID, everybody was in a rush. Like, let's go ahead and get married right now. So it kind of like stretches. And then it seems like we're kind of in another one of those moments, where we had a super busy year last year. And then this year is kind of like, well, you know, a lot of those people that would have got married this year are already married. So it's even more important to stand out and do good work now. You know, so you could still get some bookings, get a little bit of food.
Makes sense. What the heck is in my eyeball?
I don't know. I see you digging for it though.
I think a lot of it's muscle memory too. You know, I was talking to a photographer I know. And basically we were talking about, you know, what makes some of the photographers that have been in the industry for a long time, that are good, they're not great. What makes them that way? And it's we think it's muscle memory. You go and you start and you're so used to doing things a particular way that if it worked, if it's not broken, don't fix it. Which makes sense, but sometimes you also need to learn when to push the envelope. You know, don't get so complacent, because eventually things outgrow you, you know? I forget about you.
Yeah, eventually you'll look back and be like, well, this is kind of stale now.
Yeah.
I've seen that too. And it also happens, like, even on times where you're trying to get outside the box, if things start getting rushed or things start getting a little out of hand, things start getting wild, it's easy to fall back into those tendencies and into that place of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know, I mean, everybody that's heard anything knows that, you know, outside the comfort zone is where the real growth happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no arguing that. So number one thing I have on my list, and I don't have them numbered in order of what I think is the most important. It's just kind of like in the order that I thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is planning. Planning ahead. And I don't mean, I'm not a wedding planner, so I don't get to plan a wedding. But I mean, plan my part of the wedding.
Right.
So I think on my number one tip here is plan your gear and how you plan on using your gear. And I think, you know, I'm a proponent of simple gear, and that means different things to different people. I'd say, Chaz, you're a proponent of pretty simple gear. Mine tends to be a little more simple, I think, but yours still is pretty, you know, pretty basic compared to a lot of people.
Right.
And I think planning that gear, I think doing it on purpose, being simple on purpose is a huge asset to us. I see people, you know, on Facebook and things, they want to shoot with like an easy rig, or they're using, you know, the new Ronin 6 big steering wheel thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's bad on multiple parts. Maybe bad's not the right word. I just don't think it's the best move for a wedding. Number one reason that I think this is, and I learned this a long time ago, the more moving parts than any system or machine or anything has, the higher likelihood that something will fail.
Mm-hmm.
So by simplifying your gear and your approach, it allows you to have a much lower rate of failure of something messing up that's outside of your control. I think that's my number one tip on the simple gear is to do that. Because, you know, you think, well, I've planned to shoot this whole wedding, you know, using a certain piece of equipment and not have a backup plan in mind. So you think, well, I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna shoot this whole entire wedding on my gimbal. And I know, you know, people that do that. I know people that do that. What are they going to do if the gimbal fails? What if the motor burns out? What if the batteries die? You forgot to charge it. Well, what now?
Yeah.
So anything like that, if you're not able to shoot simply, then I would almost say you're not able to shoot effectively at all.
Right.
Because if things hit the wall or the fan, whatever they say, then you're going to be out of luck. And that's not a good place to be at an event you can't redo and you're contractually obligated to provide something.
All right.
It's not where you want to be. And the second part of simple gear is the people around you. And we live in a day and age where everybody takes selfies. Well, almost everybody, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people do. And I'd say everyone knows what a selfie is. So if I walk down the road and I'm like, I hold my phone over here and take a picture of me, no one's going to think twice about that. But people, I think, are still kind of uncomfortable with being on video unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody rushes up on you with their cell phone and they're holding it this way. And you're like, are you taking a video? Like, I'm not ready for a video. Well, you take a photo, but hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the bigger, more intimidating looking equipment can kind of make people uncomfortable when you're around, and it kind of takes away from the natural tendencies and the emotions, the things that they would normally be doing. And it kind of makes them, you know, kind of stiff and wooden, like they've got to perform. Yep. And we know these people ain't actors. They're not good at performing.
Yep.
So, you know, like, and I don't mean, you know, me and Chad, we use a small, you know, 5-inch external monitor on our cameras. That's not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about more of the big, you know, the big stuff that looks like, you know, like a shoulder rig and stuff like that. I think the bigger the gear is, the more uncomfortable it can make people, which tends to show through in the films.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
I think I said the same exact words on a Zoom meeting I had with a couple last night. Soon as people spot, notice that you're recording them, it immediately changes everything. So, you know, if you have that fly on the wall approach, it definitely helps you get a more organic feel with everything. So, yeah, I think you should also challenge yourself and, you know, switch up what you do every now and then, just because, you know, go to a wedding and just be like, you know what? I think I was with you that one time and I was like, we're going to shoot this wedding in 24 the whole time. Mm-hmm. It was just, it makes you think more, you know, you're more actively engaged with what you're doing, which in my eyes makes the film better.
You know, it shows through.
Yeah. So it's just something to think about.
That's a good way to put that. You're more actively engaged.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you force yourself to be more present and less on autopilot.
Yep.
That's a great way to put that. Second thing I think for planning is, I don't know if it's the right way to say it, but scouting the venue. Anytime I get there, I get to a wedding or Chaz gets to a wedding, I know because I've been with them. Like, we like to take a quick walkthrough. And even if it's somewhere I've been before, I still want to do a walkthrough, familiarize myself with how they have it set up, and kind of where everything's happening, where things are positioned, where people are going to be. And just doing that quick, you know, 10 to 12 minutes of walking around this venue inside, checking out outside, it helps set you up mentally throughout the day. And another thing it lets you do that I like to look at is it gives you an idea of where the light sources are going to be. So that you can see when you walk into a room, like, you know, hey, this is good light, this is bad light. Over this direction shoots better than that direction. And you can kind of try to form the day around that stuff. So, you know, when you get there and you're like, oh, this room has pretty great lighting. But you know, you see the groom and, you know, his friends are about to get ready down in the hallway and you're like, wait, let's see if we can move them into this area and do your thing in here. And I don't direct people. But I think that's different than kind of helping shape the day.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not telling them how to get ready, but I will help them find a good place, you know, that looks nice to get ready. I'm not opposed to that.
More aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, definitely.
I like to do the walkthrough, even if it's, you know, a venue that I've shot at 100 times. Because sometimes it kind of sparks something. Like, you know, you're walking around the same old venue and you're like, you know what? I think this time I'm going to try XYZ over here, you know, instead of doing it over there where I've done it before, or, you know, something like that. It allows your brain to look at things slightly differently for you to have that creative moment, you know, or to give you a creative opportunity with certain things. You know, I'm still walking around the Grand Marquis. I've been at Grand Marquis, I guarantee you, 100 times.
Maybe more.
And I still, literally, every time I go there and I walk around and I look at every room, I look at the same hallway, I look at everything. And I'm just like, okay, maybe I'll try it over here this time. Maybe I'll do it over here this time, you know. So, yeah, just don't rinse and repeat with certain things, man.
Yeah, don't mail it in.
Yeah,
gotta put in low effort. And then my last thing that I got over here written down for planning, is to not work with a shot list. And so there's a couple things about that. There are certain instances, where I will have a shot that I need to get. So if in the process of booking, you know, let's say the bride says, well, the groom's mom is in bad health and we want to make sure that he gets to see her dance together with him. Okay. Well, I know I need to get that shot, but that's not really what I'm talking about. When I say don't have a shot list, I mean, you know, don't have like a printout of 120 different clips that you're about to go and record. I think it just handcuffs people. It takes away all creativity, and makes it robotic. Is that the right way to say that? It just has no life. Yeah. You know, and then you look back and all your films are going to have that same shot list and it's going to be the same, like, all right, well, you just changed the people out. This is the same film.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, you know, most weddings, there's not really any must-have shots for me. Mm-hmm. Now I say that, but obviously you're going to want to capture the couple there. You should have them in it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to get the kiss. I don't always show it in the video, but I like to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't have any must-haves. Mm-hmm. I think the must-have is you got to be creative and you got to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you mix that with simplifying your gear, and you should practice with that simplified gear. You should know it well. Like if you've got to pull up your camera when you're about to record and you have to fiddle, then you don't know it well enough. You should know where all your button placements are, your shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
You should know with whatever lenses you like to use before you pull that camera up, you should know what it's going to look like in that viewfinder.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to that point, like I said, the whole point is kind of taking away all those moving parts. Anything that has to come between you and the shot, the more you can minimize those things, the better you're going to be able to be creatively, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my planning part. Plan that way. You got anything to add there, Chaz?
No, man, it was beautiful.
Beautiful. All right, if you say so. The number two thing, which is weird because I actually have it listed as number three, but I don't have a number two thing. So forgive me. My number two thing, is dynamic lighting. And using your shadows. Mm-hmm. And this is one of my pet peeves. Yeah, I could yell about this all day. So when I say dynamic exposure, dynamic lighting, it adds interest to the shot. And if I try to, it's hard to explain. It's like something you have to see to know what it is. But to try to explain it, it's like using the whole range of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And not just one portion of the sensor, like exposure wise, you know, yin and yang, light and dark, shadow and brightness, however you want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that wedding videography should be a creative type of work. You know, if you're doing, like I've done interviews for corporate places that, okay, well, they want everything to be kind of just, you know, this is the check a box for them. That's fine. I understand. There's those kind of jobs. But I feel like a wedding videography job or project should be a more creative work. I think it should, you know, have some creativity and passion to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what happens here. So, you know, if you go watch some of your favorite films, they certainly will have dynamic exposure. You know, they'll have highlights and shadows and it'll look nice. You know, like one of my favorite movies is Interstellar. Like you can look at that movie. I'm like, well, they shot this really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I think is the number one thing. When you look at amateur work and people are like, this just doesn't feel like a movie. I think that's the number one reason why. And that's not to include audio. Audio is a big part of that, but we're not talking about audio today. But I think the problem is a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking that video has to be exposed like photos. But I think they're different in a lot of ways. If you're taking a photo, you know, if I'm taking a photo of you right now, Chaz, like I have one still image to show the whole picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one picture. So I have to expose it so you can see the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
When we're doing video, I mean, we have at minimum 24 pictures per second. And not only that, but we can use 2, 3, 4, 5 videos to, you know, develop a scene.
Mm-hmm.
So everything doesn't have to be what I would call like photograph exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think it makes it better. I think it makes it more interesting. When you use stuff like, you think of like Batman coming out of the shadows or something. Like, well, if you don't have shadows and you can just see everything in the picture, that's just not as fun.
I wonder what would it look like if your exposure was too bright.
Right.
And he was hiding in the shadows, but you could like see him like
clear as day.
Like, what is he doing? Is he like
he's just waiting. Yeah, but like it takes away all the sense of mystery and creativeness. I don't know how to say it, but
mm-hmm.
Don't fall into the trap of thinking that you got to expose it like a picture, because it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Make a scene, use 2, 3, 4 shots, and make the audience see it like you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like we still have a lot more freedom, I think, than photographers. Because, you know, when somebody looks at a picture, they're expecting a certain thing, but we kind of get to lead the dance here. And I mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
So some tips on how to shoot, with dynamic lighting. You know, you always hear things like shoot during golden hour. Well, that's fine. Of course, shoot during golden hour. But you know, you can't shoot during golden hour all day. One thing you can do, you can use some lights. This is something that Chaz does at receptions. And you'll notice if you look at somebody who shot a reception with no lights, it tends to look flat. And I mean, also the DJ doesn't have lights, right? So when I say no lights, I mean, nobody brought lights and it's just house lights. It just doesn't look like a party. It looks flat. It looks boring. And it's just not, it doesn't have a pleasing look to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're shooting a reception, you know, use some light, but you also, you see this too. If you're using lights, use them good, use them well. Like I think we mentioned it a couple podcasts ago, that wedding we did, what was it at? It was in Raleigh over by the museum, some Museum? House. What was
Market
it? It's
House?
Right. Marketplace. Yes. Yeah. Marketplace. That's the one.
Yeah.
How when you use those lights, like, and they're not tiny lights, they're good sized lights, but you put them back out of the way and up high to where it's not like people are like, well, where's all this light coming from? You know, mm-hmm. it's just kind of, you place them in a way that it's accepted, like, oh, this is just a light that's here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to bring lights and you want to shoot dynamic at the reception, don't put them like right up on the dance floor in the way where somebody's tripping over them. That'll just take away from the moment too. Keep them out of the way, but do it in a nice way. And then, you know, for other times, you know, if it's not golden hour and it's not reception time, don't be afraid to explore some silhouettes. You know, if places have windows, don't be afraid to try to shoot, you know, backlit subjects where everything is pretty dark except for the window.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to overdo it, but those things can look very creative. And you also see that, I don't know why photographers like to backlight everything so much. It's a weird thing to me, but there was this guy, I don't know what he's doing these days. I think his name was Jason Lanier. And he was a big, you remember him? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to him, but he was a big deal for Sony for a while. I mean, he had workshops and classes, all that kind of stuff. But he was a proponent of never backlighting. He said backlighting is the number one way to overexpose your sky and make it look like you don't know what you're doing. And I tend to agree most times. Now, if you're doing, you know, there's some situations where I do like backlight. If I'm doing silhouettes, of course, or if I'm trying to get some type of sunset kind of thing where the sun is going down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's certainly cases where I like to backlight, but a lot of times it just makes it so it's hard to see inside or everything outside is blown out. And I don't like that. So explore some other ways for this dynamic lighting type idea. You know, don't be afraid to shoot not backlit. Look for some other land. Look, if you got some sunbeams coming in a window, falling on stuff, we'll shoot that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just part of that, you know, that walkthrough we took earlier in the day. You could kind of see these things. You know, you can kind of tell where they're going to be at, I think. Another thing I did, I put on here that I wanted to add in. I don't know how many people are doing this, but I've started using it and it's been pretty cool. And I don't know what the name of the app is, but there's an app, where you track the sun. So like you put the app on, like you tap it, you open it up and like it, you go like this, it's like augmented reality and you can see the Sunseeker. There we go. And it tracks like the position where the sun is going to be. So I've been using it so I can kind of plan ahead in my mind, like of where I'm going to be shooting next. You know, it's like when you walk through, you see where the sun's at now. And then if you know where the sun's going to be at 3 p.m., then you can kind of plan ahead mm-hmm. on how to keep a nice dynamic look and not have it like your video starts out great. And then it's like, well, this got kind of boring and, you know, strange looking. Yeah. So that's the dynamic lighting. Chaz, what do you want to add there?
Excuse me. I've been using LSP Evo Pro app. And what that is it's a white balance app.
Mm.
So anytime I go in somewhere and so auto white balance on the Sony's is pretty good. I don't really have any complaints.
Especially in natural light. It's great in natural light.
You can set it to where it kind of shifts, you know, smoothly, gently. Only problem with that is when it's a multicam setup. Mm-hmm. So what I do is when I get somewhere, I pull up that app and I point it where I'm going to be shooting. And it tells me the Kelvins. The white balance,
mm-hmm.
and then I manually set all the cameras that way. This came in really clutch, lately. I don't know if that's really creatively, but it helps you out in posts. But you were talking about the app; it made me think about that app. So,
and that's just another one of those things to help you simplify stuff. Yeah. If you don't have to get to post and try to match three or four cameras that are all gradually changing white balance. What a headache that's going to be.
Yeah.
So just set them ahead of time. That's just a little bit of planning that has now saved you hours that you're going to have to spend later.
And, use your zebras. God knows use your zebras, man. If you got zebras on your camera, use your freaking zebras. Anybody that shoots with me, if I ever look at their footage and I'm seeing overexposed stuff, I'll grab their camera and turn their zebras on for them. And I'll be like, when you see these stripes, back it down. Point blank, mm-hmm. period. You know.
See, I'm not a zebras guy. I don't like the zebras.
But you'll look at your
I use the histogram.
Yeah, you'll look at histograms. A lot of people, I would say majority of people are winging it by looking at the monitor.
Oh, yeah.
It looks good right here.
Nah.
Guess what? No,
that little screen ain't worth it.
No. Because when you get it in post, if it's gone, it's gone. Like, bye. Period. It ain't coming back. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know with Sony, once it's overexposed, it's gone. Now, underexposed, you could be surprised what you can bring back.
Mm-hmm.
But over, it's donezo.
Yeah.
So. That's my biggest thing. Don't overexpose, you know.
Well, that was my tip number three too. It leads right into it. Don't overexpose the highlights.
Yeah.
And that is something. So like the zebras bother me because I'm easily distracted. And so when I see them flashing on stuff, I start looking at different places on the screen and then I'm not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I use the histogram. I always leave it on my camera. So I can see where that light is going to and what I need to keep it under.
Mm-hmm.
I think the number one way, that sounds like a clickbait title, don't it? Chaz only wants one thing and it's disgusting. No, I'm kidding. You ever seen those? Like on YouTube, you're scrolling through and it's like just the stupidest title ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think the number one way to look like an absolute amateur is to overexpose.
Yeah.
It immediately just makes me think like you don't really know what you're doing here. Mm-hmm. And I say that with a grain of salt because I don't shoot my wedding films for other wedding videographers to enjoy. I shoot them for my couples. So if, you know, you're big on overexposure and you're getting business and your couples are liking it, well, you know, it is what it is. I can't really say much.
Bright and airy, man. Bright and airy.
I have that listed on my thing right here. You see that because you have the bright and airy photographers, which some people like that. That's cool. I get it. But you see some of those people transition to video and they try to do bright and airy video. And it just looks like, to me, it looks like Uncle Ben is using a dang video camera in 1996. It just bothers me. It looks so bad. And I think the reason it looks so bad is because you very rarely see a movie or a TV show where stuff is blown out.
Yeah.
And it just looks amateur hour, man.
Yeah.
This ain't no open mic. This is the pros.
I can't even think of anything that I've seen on the TV where it's blown out like that.
Like, I can't either, but I said that because I haven't seen everything, so I'm sure somebody would be like, well, have you ever seen blah, blah, blah? But don't do it. Just don't overexpose. Now, I know there's sometimes you can't help it. If you're shooting in a dark area and there's one tiny window up in the corner, well, it's going to be blown out. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you got to do the best you can.
Yeah, use it. It's your discretion. Like, just don't blow out stuff just because, I don't know. I ain't going to tell you not to do it. Just be smart about it.
My least favorite is the outside shots where they blow out the sky. I just can't. It bothers me.
I mean,
the sky ain't white. It's blue. Keep it blue.
This is true.
Keep it blue. One of those tricks for sunlight. When you're shooting in direct harsh sunlight, it's hard to not overexpose sometimes. There's a couple things you can do. Of course, you can get an ND filter. I always have an ND filter in my bag. Admittedly, I don't use it as much as I probably should. And I'll tell you, so if I'm doing an outside wedding, or I'm somewhere where I know I'm gonna be outside for a little while, I'll throw it on my lens. I don't have any problem with that. But if it's the type of setup where I might need to be inside in 5 minutes and then back outside in 5 minutes and then back inside, that's just wasting my time to put on an ND filter, take off an ND filter, put it back on. I'm just missing shots and missing opportunities. And I don't have time to waste at a wedding. You know, my packages don't come with that much coverage as it is. I know everybody hates it, but you know, I'll use the shutter speed a lot of times. If it's a quick situation where I need to pop in and pop out, sometimes I'll use aperture for outdoor stuff. And sometimes I want that shallow depth of field. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, 1/4,000 this thing.
Yeah.
And it's part of it. It's one of the rules that I don't mind breaking from time to time in a situation where it means either I'm getting that shot or I missed that shot.
Yeah. And I mean, who cares about motion blur when somebody's talking? Like, nobody. I think it's okay. I think it'd be okay.
It can be okay. I agree. It's okay. Now, maybe not for every shot, maybe. And like I said, if I know I'm doing an outside wedding, now I'm probably just going to leave the ND filter on until, you know, the sun starts going down. But don't be afraid to break that rule, people. It's okay to break it. It's better than overexposing. I'll say that. Number four on my list, and the last thing I put on my list, was the walk-in shot. And I think that's kind of what I opened up with. Traditional walk-in shot, I'd say, like I said, you got your monopod, you got your gimbal, your handheld, however you're shooting your day. You walk in, you see some stuff, and you just press record, and you think, all right, it's captured. I'm done. And I think that's far from the truth. I think it's lazy. And maybe not intentionally lazy. I'm not saying, like, you're not willing to do the hard work, you know, to get a good shot. But it's, I think it's mentally lazy. And I think you could do better for yourself and for your couples, honestly. Mm. And this is one of the things, and I know me and Chaz, I think we've talked about this before, but by using that simple gear that we were talking about a little earlier, and by knowing your stuff really well, like whatever you decide to use, that will allow you the extra time to find a different angle. Or to find a more interesting way to shoot with the light source that you have. Mm-hmm. Something else, I don't know if we said this earlier. During prep, turn off the lights. Don't be afraid to turn off the lights for that dynamic exposure.
Mm-hmm.
House lights tend to just, you know, when you're lighting something for, you know, your home or for a venue or something, you're lighting it for human eyes, not for a camera. Mm-hmm. So when everything is lit evenly, well, it doesn't look weird to your eyes. But it looks very flat to a camera. And I don't know the science behind it, but I know that it's true. So don't be afraid to turn off those lights and play with the shadows a little bit and utilize that light a little bit more. Side note. But yeah, so having that simple stuff, it'll allow that extra bit of time so you can test out a different angle. You know, zoom with your feet, find something else, maybe a different focal length, something that you wouldn't have had time to try if you were, you know, trying to bump into everybody with your easy rig.
Mm-hmm.
Like a clown. It's Ronald McDonald out here. No, I'm kidding. Let me stop hating. You remember Ronald McDonald?
Yep.
Whatever happened to Ronald McDonald?
I don't think nothing happened to him.
He's still around?
I think he's still kicking. Dang. Big old boots.
You remember, I don't know if, when I lived in Kentucky and I was a little kid, the McDonald's used to have, like, I don't know, if like a statues of all these characters, like the hamburger guy and the hamburglar.
I used to always see the bench, like the little playground area.
Oh, with the
Ronald, and he had his arm up in his leg. Yeah.
That's funny. McDonald's used to be cool, man. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, I ain't been inside one of them in a long time.
Nah. I don't really go inside anywhere anymore.
Yeah.
So that was my last tip, is to not just walk in and shoot, to spend that extra time, find a more creative way to shoot it. Master that simple setup so it's like an extension of your own eye or your own mind, your own body.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll keep you from getting stale and boring and feeling like, well, I already captured this 100 times.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe a little bit of life and a little bit of soul back into your project.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you get to that edit, the more soul you got in that shot, the lot easier it is to edit. You start editing boring footage and it's like, oh my gosh, like, bleh.
Mm-hmm.
Editing boring footage is the worst thing.
Like pulling teeth.
Yeah. Maybe less fun than getting your teeth pulled.
Yeah.
All right, man, that was the tips I wrote down. What else you got? You got anything? You got a nugget of the day? What's going on over there?
Chuck actually sent a nugget of the day. And it,
who?
It, Chuck.
You said who? My audio's messing. Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Barely listens to the podcast.
He don't even listen?
He listens, and he always complains about us sniffling.
Sorry, Chuck. My bad. It'd be all right.
It's allergy season.
It's always allergy season.
But what he said, it kind of falls into what we're talking about. His nugget of the day is feel, F-E-E-L, over feel, F-I-L-L.
I like that.
Saying make your content matter. So, you know, with your last tip, you know, instead of just walking in
mm-hmm.
and pressing record, understand why you're pressing record, you know. Think about why you're pressing record. Does it really matter why you're pressing record? When you get to this, when you get back to the editing table, whatever you're about to press record, is it going to matter? Are you actually going to use it? You know, are you doing it just to fill up your SD card to say you shot something, you know? And what that does is it lowers down the quantity of shots that you take, but it also ups the quality of the shots that you take, you know? You don't always have to go in, and this is no pun towards you, Aaron. You're amazing. You don't have to have 300 clips, you know, to feel accomplished that day. You know, it's okay to have 100, you know, if those hundreds, you know, are bankers. You know, Aaron, he'll shoot 300 clips and 300 will be bankers.
No, I don't know about that.
You know, and I'll shoot 100 and like 80 are bankers, you know? So, yeah, fill over fill. Make your content matter. Good job, Chuck.
That's a good job, Chuck. I like that. That's a good nugget of the day.
Yeah.
And I think my overshooting, I was thinking about this yesterday because I know we texted about it a minute. I think it's also from shooting short films where I'm the solo shooter and I know I have to cover a short film. And I think that built a habit of,
you know,
if everything goes bad, I need to have enough footage for this short film.
Yeah. And I used to do that until I came up with the approach, but it's yours is the better approach. Mine's is the lazier approach. My approach is like, okay, you just purchased the highlight. I'm gonna give you the highlight, but the business side of things, if you overshoot, you can always have the opportunity to upsell, you know,
I think we do the same thing just in different ways because you always make sure you have a second person.
Yeah.
So I'm just being two people myself. I think yours way is smarter because you don't have to kill yourself.
Yeah, the day is over. The day is over. I don't even offer solos anymore. I'm not with it.
I get it.
And it's okay.
I think shooting with you has ruined solo shooting for me. Because I have like 100 times less fun when I'm just sitting there by myself.
It's boring.
It is boring. It didn't used to be boring until I started shooting with you a lot. And then I'm like, man, this is so much more fun when I'm with you than when I'm not.
It's only fun when you know like the photographer. Then y'all can kind of like cut up together. But if it's like a random person, you're just kind of like, well, guess I'll go do some work.
It's like having a class with no friends in school. Boring.
I'm all right. I'm cool with that.
All right. That's the main points, guys. That's what we got here for the day. Creative shooting. Don't be afraid to push the boundaries. Get out the box. Try some new things. Great nugget of the day brought to you by Chuck. I can't remember the name of his videography business, I'm going to be honest with you.
Pelican Sky Media.
Pelican Sky. Yeah, try some of those out. Let us know what you think of them. You know, keep tuning in. We appreciate all the support. Chad, you got anything else for the audience today?
Nah, man, I ain't got nothing, bro.
I don't either. Let me cue this outro music before I mess up there. Like I said, we appreciate the support. We love you guys. And as always,
peace.